Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, we'd like to thank you for tuning in to the World Boxing Review Radio Show. My name is Aaron Snow. They call me the Hall of Fame Trainer of Stars. And coming to you live from Pottsville, Pennsylvania, Bob Murray. How you doing, Bob?
Hello, Aaron. Good to hear you again, man. It's great to be back. And, man, we're looking forward to a good show today. We got a lot to talk about, man. We got a lot of fights going around the world. And we'll also look back on some of those great heavyweight fights of the last month or so that have been going on and what the future looks like in the heavyweight division and all the other divisions. We got some great fights. So we're ready to go.
We're ready to go. It's a great report card that we have. That we're going to report on the state of boxing that happened around the world, what shows are going on. So, Bob, the Pottsville Crimson Tide, man, did they bring a storm last night? That was second to none. What was the weather like, Bob? Everybody was talking about the weather.
Oh, rain, man. Some winds and. Well, it was, if you like that kind of football, man, played in the conditions that you have in front of you, man. It was a good game. Went overtime, too. Pottsville pulled it out 20-12.
20-12 and two overtime. Yeah, well, I want to congratulate my nephew, Jace. It looks like he threw the two touchdowns that bring him over the hump in overtime, and the rest of the team and the young man that caught that ball. In the pouring down rain, the mud slides like that, the old Vince Lombardi, those type of games. And they talked about football. But in cold region country, man, that type of football, the snow, the mud, the rain, it don't matter. They play, and that's the main. And they beat an undefeated team last night. To my understanding, North Schuylkill was number one in the state.
I think they were, yeah. It was a big matchup. And the Pottsville, they have a decent season going on so far, but that was a big signature win for the season, though, man. Definitely to pull off a win like that.
Yeah, man. To my understanding, North Schuylkill were blowing away teams by 40, 50 points.
Oh yeah, yeah, they were.
And at the halftime, I guess Pottsville was even up at halftime at 6-6. And then in the fourth quarter or something like that, and they tied it up, and North Schuylkill went ahead. They came back. Pottsville didn't tie the score up. It took them in the overtime. I guess that's the way it went down.
Yeah, two overtimes, actually. It took an extra overtime period even, too. So, yeah, good long game, and yeah, what a matchup, yeah. So
Mm-hmm. Hats off to them coaches, Bob. They pulled something off great, and that's what it takes. We'll see how they do. The playoff starts next week, and congratulations to the other team. The defense that played, man, a terrific defensive game, and those linemen that blocked so they could get the pass off, man, it's always a team effort, and teamwork makes the dream work. and it looked like their dream came true last night, and they pulled off a big one.
Yeah, my boys, Nativity, they're playing this afternoon against Minersville. It's a good local matchup, too, and we'll see what happens later on this afternoon. But we might be talking a little bit about Lawton's Hill later on in the show, too. We got some old news to tell you about way back.
Yeah.
Lots of doctors, good stuff. Okay.
Yeah, take us on that carpet ride that you've been doing week in and week out. Come on with it. Take us around the world. Tell us what's going on.
Yeah, right. We launched today, and we head off to the Mandalay Bay Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, Nevada, USA, on Showtime for the WBA World Welterweight title fight between the interim champ, Jamal James. He's 27-1, 12 knockouts, and challenger, Radza Butayev, 13-0, 10 KOs. Also, we have two 10-rounders topping the undercard with unbeaten welterweight Jerron Ennis, 27-0, 25 of those by knockout. And he takes on 25-5-1 with 16 knockouts, Thomas Delorme. An undefeated lightweight Michael Rivera, 21-0 with 14 knockouts, stepping in against Jose Matias Romero, 24-1 with 8 knockouts. And we'll also see welterweights Alberto Palmeira, 16-1, and Yace Gabriel Solano, 15-1, face off in an 8-rounder. USA fight will be in Rock Rapids, Iowa for the lightweight match of Jamal Dahu, 16-0 versus Antonio Jose Martinez, 11-27. While over in Jefferson City, the super middleweight clash of Joseph Boris and Johnny Case is the headliner. Cruiserweights Derek Miller Jr. and Josue Obando meet up in Monroe, Michigan. And Vienna, West Virginia closes their show with the super welterweight Donnie Rosenberger and Vitaly Gubkin trading punches there. Madison Square Garden in New York City is in action tonight, topped with the fight for the WBC silver super lightweight belt with 34-2 with 26 knockouts. Jose Zepeda squaring off with Josue Vargas, 19-1, 9 knockouts. And we also have on that undercard the co-main event, 14-0 bantamweight Carlos Caraballo versus Jonas Sultan, who's 17-5. And the Armory up in Newburgh, New York, has a doubleheader with the early show highlighting middleweight Frank Galarza, 20 wins, 3 losses, and 2 draws. And the night show is topped with the Bryce Mills versus Ryan Pino-Torres welterweight clash. The Showboat in Atlantic City, New Jersey, hosts the card tonight, headlined with the Sunard Bunch, 16-1, and he faces Wilfredo Baklav, and he's 22-14. That's a welterweight showdown. Azteca TV and Latin America Canal Space will broadcast from Tijuana, Mexico, where Jackie Nava, 38-4-4, and Mariano Barbie Juarez, 55-10-4, vie for the vacant WBC Diamond Female Super Bantamweight Crown. It's two great fighters from Mexico going at it there, and shame it's not on a bigger TV event, too, because that would be something to watch these two lady warriors going at it. Down in Managua, Nicaragua, 21-6-2, Marcio Souza and Elison Marquez, he's 10-2-2, both seek the open WBA Federcaribe featherweight strap. And the co-headliner has Gabriel Escalante, 14-1, versus the 8-1 Israel Lopez, battling for the vacant WBA Federcentro super lightweight title. Super lightweights Michael Suarez and Edelan Charrupi go at it down in Quito, Ecuador. Tice C Sports TV is in Villanueva, Cordoba, Argentina, for the female co-main events with the 7-1 Mara Moneo crossing the ropes with Paula Pamela Benavidez, who's 8-4-3. And that's a 10-round lightweight fight, 2 minutes each. And we also have welterweights Victoria Noella Bustos, 21-6, and the Amelia Estereynoso, 11-8-3, duking it out in an 8-rounder of 3 minutes each. So be curious. We have the 8-rounder with 3 minutes and a 10-rounder of 2 minutes. And in the Federal District of Buenos Aires is Jonathan Jose Enes, 26-15-1, versus Nicolas Pablo DeMarco, 15-4-3, in a super lightweight finale. And that's on Canal 9 TV. Mercedes tops their bill with the light heavyweight fight that they're going to have with Walter Gabriel Sequeira. He's 24-8 versus Victor Hugo Exner. And across the pond now to the O2 Arena in London, UK, for the DAZN telecast, highlighting the unification bout between WBC World Female Super Lightweight titleist Chantel Cameron. She's 14-0, 8 knockouts, and the IBF World Champion Mary McGee, 27-3 with 15 KOs. And this fight was to be highlighted by the Dillon White Otto Wallin heavyweight matchup, but we'll get into that a little later too. White had the shoulder problem, and we'll see how that affects the heavyweight division going forward as well. But anyway, the top fight tonight is that Cameron versus McGee female fight. That's going to be great. Topping the undercard is the Craig Richards, 16-2-1, versus Marek Matia, 20 wins, 2 losses, and 2 draws. They duel for the open WBA International light heavyweight belt. And the Youssef Kumari, 13-0-1, versus Jorge David Castaneda, 14-1 match for the vacant WBC International silver super featherweight crown. Watford in Hertfordshire, they end their show with the Ines Taj versus Stevie Taylor cruiserweight clash. Savigny Mines in Soie-et-Loire, France, they headline with the Michael Lacombe versus Mirko de Carlampil fight for the open IBO Mediterranean super welterweight title. Isere features the welterweight meeting of 8-0 Yanis Meja and the 11-4-2 Musa Gari, while in Albi, super bantams Ahmed Ibraguman and Yunus Siamare do battle. Santander in Cantabria, Spain, will see Jan Miguez, 14-0, and Jonathan Valero, 10-6-1, square off for the Spanish welterweight crown. while lightweight Salvador Barón, 6-1-2, is showcased in Almería in Andalusia. Asier Morila takes on Ivan Lacara in the welterweight finale in Alicante, Valenciana, and Colasa de Segura highlights the Emiliano Casal versus Herman Isava super lightweight attraction. Undefeated featherweight Bernard Agnel, 14-0 with 6 knockouts, steps in with Jaro Duran, 14-12, in the topper in Madrid. Rome, Italy, will see debuting female flyweight Evelyn Tatiana Camporeal-Russo and Rebecca Sidney-Smith punch it out, while middleweights William Podo and Vasilin Vasilev trade punches across town. Alessandria in Piedmont, they host the Christian Mazu versus Giuseppe Orasso super welterweight class. Lugano, Switzerland, will see the middleweight battle between Marius Antonietti and Zolt Meze. Huckelhauen Rotheim in Nordrhein-Westfalen, Germany, hosts the Pascal Walters versus Mohamed Oguzhan Ariful Gugali bout for the open WBU German version cruiserweight strap. Kona's Westerhausen in Brandenburg tops their card with the Ronnie Gabel versus Achille Szabo super welterweight contest. Heavyweights Willy Kayakonye and Tomas Zadishvili face off in Utrecht, Netherlands. In the super middleweight fight between Tijan Keber and Saled Nazar Taha is the headliner in Karinholm, Sweden. VNO super lightweight Pavel Polakovic is showcased in Olomouc, Czech Republic, and heavyweights Adnan Doranza and Ibrahim Odobasic square off in Brnovici, Bosnia and Herzegovina. The featherweight clash of Zabez Shamayev and Rauf Akayev closes the curtain in Baku, Azerbaijan, and it's Ruslan Feifer versus Shigobudin Aliyev in the cruiserweight finale in Plastinovskaya, Russia. Dar es Salaam, Tanzania headlines with the Ramadani Shauli versus Eid Pialari welterweight match, and in Tunja, the Donard Mwakitsu versus Hashim Zapake Kuranga super lightweight fight ends the show there. Two debuting super lightweights, meet up in Goma, Democratic Republic of the Congo, when Gael Asumani steps in against Abdul Jamal. Unbeaten middleweight Ngozi Sibiya, he's 3-0, and the 4-0 Jackson Kaptian go at it in Durban, South Africa. Tanez Ongozunta, 8-1, defends his WBA Asia flyweight strap when he faces off with Lutkai Chiawed, who's 6-5 in the main event in Bangkok, Thailand. Bienvenido Ligas, 13-1-2, and April J. Abney, 6-0, vie for the open OPBF silver flyweight crown in the headliner in Cebu City, Philippines. Tokyo, Japan, features the Yasutaka Fujita versus Izuku Tomioka super lightweight attraction. Hobart in Tasmania, Australia, hosts the battle for the vacant ANBF Australasian female featherweight crown between Christina Jacobs, 5-1, and Rebecca Hawker. The co-main event has Jaden Joseph taking on Rob Wilkinson for the open Australia-Tasmania state heavyweight belt. And on the mainland in Palm Beach, Queensland, super lightweights Dara Keogh and Matt Moss meet up. Heavyweight Sam Watt takes the card in Christchurch, New Zealand, and in Waipu, Arianne Nicholson and Karen Teruki Passain battle for the vacant New Zealand Professional Boxing Association female welterweight title. And there we go, Aaron, checking in today. 25 countries, man. It's good to see. We've been a long time since we got up that high, and it's good to see, you know, Europe having a lot of action this weekend, too. And, you know, there was all those months and over a year even, too, where we really weren't having too many fights going on around the world. But it's good to see 25 countries checking in this week.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, look, things are checking in over there with a lot of bouts and a lot of TV bouts on the Zone and Sky TV and Showtime's coming out, ESPN. I think it's good for boxing, looking on the report card. On ESPN, you had Secure, who's a silver medalist, put on a dynamite display of boxing, of hitting, not getting hit, fighting on the inside, fighting on the outside. You know, with Heron, who's an older champion in the matchup, it looked like Secure was night and day, was too fast, too quick, who possess a jab. Like the hardest thing in boxing to get away from is a good left jab. And he proved that last week with that jab that he was using. He wasn't using a bait jab where he's just sticking it out there. I mean, he was stumping it and bumping it, which kept Herring off balance. It kept him reaching where he was in, he was out. By the time Herring got the counter punches off, he was gone, or else he would be in the inside smothering the shot off, getting his right hook off. It mounted to confusion, and it looked like Herring in the middle rounds were going to try to make a run at it. But the young man, Shakur Stevenson, he shifted the gear. He put it in high gear. When he went into high gear, trust me, it was something great to watch. And going down the stretch there in the 10th round, he ended up stopping him on a cut, and the referee said, hey, look, this is enough. So right. I think we have a rising star in boxing, and it's Shakur Stevenson from Newark. I mean, the young man looked absolutely great. He looked like a Floyd Mayweather, Sugar Ray Leonard. He possessed those type of boxing skills, and he showed it.
And yeah. And
he
knows the people like it, too. You know, we got some numbers from that ESPN show, too. So the average was 1,233,000 viewers, and the peak at 1,264,000. But, yeah, you got almost like 1.25 million people there following that fight last week, too. So, yeah, Stevenson's getting himself, building himself a little fan base, too, by those numbers.
Yeah, and it was down in Atlanta. It looked like they had a nice draw, a nice crowd down there, and I believe that, you know, Shakur is the man. So Javante Davis and all of them guys, he's something to watch out for. And Lomachenko, you know, and Tavila Lopez, you know, those guys I think are big money fights for Stevenson as he's coming and he's defending. And you can see the maturity in him both inside the ring and outside the ring. He's speaking very well. He's saying all the right things, and it looks like he's doing all the right things. He's training hard, this and that, and it's showing in the ring. And when he's getting out, he's leaving personal differences with fight talks and all of that. He ain't taking it to the next level. Like he said, hey, look, it's fight talk in the heat of the moment right there. It's about the fight talk, he said. But after the fight's over, hey, look, we shake hands and gentlemen and scholars, because that's what boxing guys do. It's a fine art of hitting and not getting hit, and he sure displayed that. So our hats off to Shakur, rising star. And, you know, at 35 years old, Herring, he's probably going to have to go back to the drawing board and see if he can circumvent, brush his trunks off, take a little time off, and go back in at it, Bob.
Right. Yeah, that was nice to see that. And we'll see what happens with some of these numbers again, too. We'll be following them as we do to see. Again, it's nice to see over 1 million people tuning into ESPN for that show.
Yeah, well, you know, they're tuning in, and with we'll backtrack a little bit, you know, with Anthony Joshua in the heavyweight division, him and Usyk. We had talked about Usyk many times on the show, Bob, is that Usyk was an offensive machine. And to beat him, you know, he beat Mike the Bounty Hunter, which was a dynamite fight. That we thought he displayed that sound offense. His offense is his defense, and he's like a buzzsaw. He stays busy. He's active. He's an exciting fighter. So to fight him, you have to keep up a great punching pace. I used the analysis of a young Leon Spinks when he fought Muhammad Ali. Muhammad Ali thought that he could just go in there with a guy 7 fights and just beat him. Leon Spinks was game that night. I mean, he kept coming and throwing punches and outpointing Muhammad Ali, and Ali couldn't keep up with that punching pace. But fight two was a different story. Muhammad Ali worked on getting punches off, and when Leon got on the inside, Ali tied him up so he couldn't get as many punches off, and that was the difference in the fight. So I'm saying that to say this. If Anthony Joshua in this rematch is that they have, he's going to have to really put his shot together and pinpoint shots on him very well. And he's going to have to find some type of body attack to slow him up. And he's going to have to outpunch him. And that's going to be the key. And he's going to have to be in dynamite shape in order to do that. That's what I think. And can he do it? If he ain't hungry, he better get hungry. You know, because when you're champion, lifestyle changes a whole different thing. And guys that are coming up, they don't have millions of dollars, so they're still hungry. If he can get that hunger back in him, maybe he can recapture the championship, Bob.
Right. And looking at that rematch right now, the latest we're hearing is somewhere in March in the UK for the Joshua Usyk rematch. So we'll see how that goes. But right now that's tentatively scheduled for March.
Yeah, yes, it is. And the one who threw the wrench in the whole deal, Bob, Deontay Wilder,
right.
The judge ruled in arbitration court, threw the wrench, the monkey, all of that up. To mess it up, where Fury was supposed to fight Anthony Joshua. What boxing needed was that big mega fight, man. And on the show, we were saying, just get the Deontay Wilder and get him to take step aside money.
Right. You wasn't buying that.
yeah, the kind of money you got to pay on the taxes on the money, you can write it off as a legitimate expense to get him to step aside. Instead of they used ego and bronze and said his contract was nothing. Somehow Deontay Wilder got somebody to take it to arbitration court, and the judge said his contract was good in the immediate rematch. And boy, oh boy, it created the trilogy, which Deontay Wilder missed out on $100 million, and now he's missed out on the heavyweight championship again. You know, hey man, I told you, Bob, when he turned down that $100 million, how does a fighter turn down $100 million in this game?
Hey,
you just don't. And you know, Al Haymon's whole deal with Fox is only $66 million. How does a fighter turn down $100 million? That's something crazy, and it's something to look at under a microscope and looked at very closely of why he would do something that like that. And that kind of stuff puts a guy behind the eight ball. And I said it then. I said, now, I don't think he'll never see $100 million.
Right. Again, now, will he even fight again? They're talking, is he done?
Well, I don't believe that he won no fights with Fury. Fury just got his number. You know what I mean? He showed what he can do, his punching power. You know, he had Fury down,
Yeah, Fury's ability to get up off the ground, man, is again, we saw that first fight, he was out, and he got back up and got the draw. But, yeah, went down twice in the fourth round, and you're thinking, maybe Wilder, one more punch and he can take him out. But, Fury survived that onslaught and came back to finish him off in 11th. Yeah.
Tyson Fury's a whole together different fighter when he gets up off the deck.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, he after he got up off the deck, he didn't lose a round until he knocked Deontay Wilder out.
Right, yeah.
And Deontay Wilder said he wanted to go out on his shield, and that's how he did, man. He went straight out on his shield.
Yes, he did.
Yeah, and, people were talking to me, asking me what I think about this, how the punches were thrown. Nah, it wasn't a technical fight, there was personal things going on. So that fight turned into like a street brawl.
Right.
The great the technique of neither one of them wasn't real great. But it was like a street ball and made for exciting thing. You know, we haven't seen a heavyweight fight like that in a long time. So it looked good, and I hope these guys can benefit from fighting that good. And where does Deontay Wilder go? With a fight like that, does he get placed in the number one spot and see if he can circumvent to get a mandatory the rematch? But I don't believe other guys in that top echelon of fighter, wide fighter, a one-punch knockout artist, you can be winning the whole fight and he clip you, knock you out. That don't make sense, you know, unless there's money. And it ain't like Deontay Wilder's the biggest draw in town. So he's in a tough spot if he can't get in the politics or work to get him in the position, in the mandatory position, which is the number one spot. Him in the number one spot to fight. I don't think Anthony Joshua and his team will fight him, you know, after this thing. It's just too much risk. Why right. fight him and you don't have to?
Mm-hmm.
He's not a draw, so
you know,
he's going to really have to go back to the drawing board. I mean, Tyson Fury really beat him up. He beat on him, you know, 280 some pounds. By the time Tyson Fury climbed in the ring, he had to be every bit of 300.
But you know, another name of you talking about mandatories, and what's the story with Dillian White? You know, he was scheduled to fight tonight, actually, over there at the O2 Arena as the main event in that card. But you know, he's a shoulder injury too, so we don't know where he's going to fall into this too, as far as his mandatory. You know, is he lining up to fight Tyson Fury next? We don't know.
Yeah, you know, Dillian White, he's been in that number one spot a long time, man. And he goes in and out of it. He loses, he wins, and he's finding himself right back in that spot. We understand the politics of the game, but hey, look, the heavyweight division is better than it's been in a long time. Give them other guys who deserve a shot at the title that's undefeated. Get them number one and let them climb in there and let's see what they can do, you know. It's something. And with Usyk, champion of the world right now, and that rematch, so we got to wait on that rematch. In the meantime, the heavyweight division gets stalled, you know. And Don King is looping at the loop. He has Trevor Bryan, who's undefeated, man.
Right.
You know,
right.
And he's a WBA champion. He's right up there. Will he get the shot to fight Anthony Joshua or Tyson Fury? And he's undefeated. You know, you never know how good an undefeated fighter is until he climbs in the ring with somebody that everybody else thinks then knows that guy can fight. And, you know, can he display that his undefeated record ain't padded, and, you know, and ain't, you know, put together, you know, is that he can he rise to that type of occasion in a big fight? I believe that it's something to look at closely, and we're going to see how the politics of the game in that heavyweight division, because it's big money. We're going to have to wait and look and see how it all plays out, Bob.
Right, and Joe Joyce is another name that's being tossed around, too, another British fighter, and trying to get another big fight there in the UK, too. So his name's being tossed around as well.
Yeah, well, Frank Warren, you know, Frank Warren got him, and, you know, Frank Warren got Tyson Fury. So we may see that matchup. We'll see if Frank Warren we'll try to put something like that together with, and he has Daniel DeBonis too. Frank Warren does, and we'll see if them guys will either fight each other or get a shot at Tyson Fury, since he's under Frank Warren's promotional umbrella over there in England.
Right. You know, also we want to mention next weekend, too. We'll talk about it more next week. With just a little heads up for everybody, too. We have Canelo Alvarez and Plant going at Caleb Plant, which is going to be a good barn burner, too. We'll see what happens with that fight. We'll get to see that next week.
Yeah, well, you know, he's saying, you know, Plant was saying, he was saying, hey, look, hey, you only got to, when you got a big fight, you only have to fight good that night in order to win. And he's saying that Canelo Alvarez ain't Superman, but boy, has he whipped a lot of tail on his record.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, just you got to get in there and you got to show us what you're talking about to make us a real believer, because Canelo Alvarez runs through guys.
Right. So, you know, again, we'll talk a little more next week, but looking forward to that fight too, shape it up. You know, I also wanted to just talk a little bit too about the big female fight going on tonight. And again, at that DAZN fight, which was going to be Dylan White, it's now Chantel Cameron versus Mary McGee. And Chantel Cameron, she's under the radar a little bit here over in the U.S. People over in the United Kingdom know all about her, but, you know, we might have a Cameron versus Katie Taylor fight coming down the line. But right now, Taylor and Amanda Serrano are trying to get it done to get a big super female fight going on there too. So that's something. And also down there in Mexico, we have Barbie Suarez fighting as well. You know, she's been around for a long time, and she's fighting Jackie Nava, who's also been around forever. I mean, those guys have 88 wins between them. You know, actually, what's that? 93 wins between the two of them. You know, so they're another couple of great female fighters too. So some good action there on the distaff side tonight too.
Oh yeah, Bob. You know, absolutely. Women's boxing has definitely come around, and see, you know, Kelly Taylor and them on the top, and her with the fight tonight is good. It's good for the sport of boxing. It's good for women's boxing, for giving the women the opportunity that men are given for them to get up and display their talent. Yes. And I think, you know, Carissa Shields, man, she came in the MMA and she lost, Bob.
Yeah, she got beat. It was actually a tight decision, but she did get beat. Yeah, and it was, maybe she's she'd stick to boxing. I don't know what she's going to do as far as the MMA is concerned, but she's still scheduled to fight on December 11th, too, to defend her belt. So she's getting back into training and doing the boxing thing, and we'll see how far this this little endeavor with her going in MMA is goes. She wants the money. That's what she was doing MMA for, too, because she was getting good paychecks for that.
Yeah, well, you know, they paid her what? On that card, I guess quite a few of them earned $1 million, and that's surprising for MMA. Only they're less than 0.5% of them get the chance for fight for millions. I guess they utilize her name as a Olympic medalist, gold medalist, in order to pull the pay-per-view off. That they amped that up where she could get over $1 million. So she got the million that she wanted, you know, so that all that's good. Let's see if she returns to boxing. I think with Kelly Taylor and all of them, I think the women's boxing's on, and with the DAZN putting them on, I think it's an opportunity for Carissa Shields to get out there in boxing to keep playing her talent. Hey, look, you she's still young and things like that. So it's up to her, you know. Hey, keep setting records if that's what's going to motivate you, you know.
Right.
She really doesn't have, in the scheme of things of like fighters of yesteryear, she really doesn't have a whole lot of fights. So, you know, and
right. She's
relatively young in the game when it comes to fight, even though she's a champion, she won championships. That's what happens when you're young and talented. You set goals and marks. So she just should keep going along and making marks in boxing history. And I think in the long run, she's going to benefit from it. Yeah, I think.
Right, and we see now also, like we mentioned, December 11th for Shields getting back in the ring for boxing. But also on that same card, Savannah Marshall is going to be fighting as well. And she's chomping at the bit to get in there with Shields. She's, of course, the only one to have ever beaten Clarissa Shields in a boxing match back in her amateur days. So that could be something we'll see maybe towards the end of next year after they get there, or maybe in the summer. I don't know exactly when, but if they both win, which they probably should win on that fight on December 11th, they'll be kind of on a head-on collision course, too, to fight. That'll be a good one for women's boxing, too.
Oh, absolutely, Bob. Absolutely. I think that it'd be terrific for women's boxing. So, hey, man, there's boxing's on the move, and there's a lot to talk about, Bob, a lot to talk about, such as Davis and Romero
right.
fight. You know, I think Davis, you know, he's just been bullying guys, too, knocking them out. You know, can he do that in his up-and-coming fight? Can he do that in Tel Aviv Lopez? You know, he was in a purse bid, and that's all kind of crazy situation with him in the zone. You know, they're going this way with purse bids, that, and the purse bids ain't working out for them, this and that. You know, he's in a position, he demands a lot of money because of the type of fighter who he is, who beat Lomachenko. And, you know, it's just with Triller, with them putting on those real fights instead of, you know, them
right.
that they're putting together for exhibition. That where they know
that.
The outcome is, so it's a whole together different bit.
And then we have Jake Paul too. Yeah, he's going to be facing off with Tommy Fury. That's finalized now for December 18th. That'll be Showtime pay per view.
Yeah.
He's actually going to fight a real fighter. That's the story there.
Yeah, well, he signed a big contract with them because of his following that he has. He brings people to pay per view, and people want to pay to watch him, no matter how crazy it may sound. But he went on and did a lot of great pay-per-view. He got a lot of good followers on the internet, basically the YouTube sensation. You know,
yep.
That's where he was logging up stuff, talking stuff, and he's always talking boxing, calling this one, and even they're calling Mike Tyson out. You know, I think that's
yeah.
it, biting off a little bit. On the bit, because Mike Tyson can steal punch.
Right. Well, you know, those things kind of slowed down after Holyfield, you know, got whooped there a little bit, trying to come back at his
yeah.
age. So, you know, there's a lot of people looking at those older guys fighting again.
Yeah, but we don't know if that was for real or for play.
Okay.
You know, it was one of those exhibitions. And here we blame this on the commission down there in Florida, is that, you know, you can't promote an exhibition like it's a real fight. Call it what it is, an
right.
exhibition.
Yeah.
And this is what is confusing to the public, you know. You don't know what them guys fighting an exhibition or is it a real fight. And here to come find out, it was an exhibition. Now, we don't want to blame Evander Holyfield for going in the tank. We know that, you know, he's a great fighter, man. He done displayed that. But with that kind of stuff, it just leaves too much speculation. And, Bob, that's why commissions were formed anyway, you know, for number one, for public safety, and not so promoters can come all in and pull off those type of schemes. That's why boxing commissions were formed. And, Bob, we're going to talk a little bit about that in our hometown, Pennsylvania, you know, Pottsville. Go over that boxing history, Bob, so we can talk a little bit about it.
Yeah, no, we've talked about some of these clubs that were popping up throughout Pottsville. We're talking about the teams back in 1914 and 1908 and 1912 and those kind of places that were going on. These clubs that were around town in Pottsville, and there was a time there where, of course, boxing was illegal, and you could get fined or even get a little prison sentence or whatever. They didn't like boxing, and they were setting up clubs. And there'd be, of course, members only. But, you know, a few other people got to go into on the side. And they were fighting, and I guess that one place was the old Moose Club, but it was the Goat Club was down in South Center Street.
Yeah.
And they had guy, a local fighter from outside St. Clair, Newcastle Township, it is now, Donnie Ryan. He was a big fighter in this area, too, and he took on a couple guys from across the pond there and a couple other local guys, and they were fighting also at another place called the Alexis Club, which was a another venue up on North Center Street. And it was a guy named George Weisinger, too, who was probably the big promoter at the time, and he had leased grounds on the – I guess it's where the – well, up there on Lawton's Hill. A man named Lawton owned that, and he leased it from her. And Lawton's Hill, of course, is where the radio station was located, and also Nativity High School is up on that hill. So, man, yeah, I never knew all that kind of stuff. You know, like, wow, check it out. These guys were fighting right up there, you know. And again, it was a weird thing. But, yeah, getting back to the Pottsville Boxing Commission, that was 1914. And the mayor of Pottsville, you know, to kind of get things out of the back alleys and the basement, you know, cellars and all that kind of stuff. He put together really, I guess, what was one of the first boxing commissions.
Yes. He said that too many promoters were coming in the town, and they were getting people to put up money. Investing, and then when the show come off, the people were left short change, short pocket, you know, and they'll say this guy was fighting and this guy didn't end up fighting, somebody else would be on the card and all that, and it confused the public. And so for public sentiment, he formed the commission. And that commission that he formed helped form the Pennsylvania Commission.
Right.
In
right.
the state. Those rules and regulations that he helped put together were implemented in the Pennsylvania State Legislature for boxing rules.
Right. I believe it was a Congressman Ali, I believe was the name.
That's it.
Yeah,
that,
who also helped that along, too.
Yeah.
Get it recognized in the state, right.
Yeah, it sure did, Bob. And for people don't know, it was the GOAT Boxing Club, which stands for the greatest of all time.
Right. They had that word way before we're hearing GOAT, like we're hearing all that now, you know. It was just between the Tom Brady's and everybody else, you know. But, yeah, that term started way back then. You know, for a while there, GOAT meant you were the guy who blew the game or blew the fight or something, you know, you were the GOAT. But back then, and now again, GOAT is greatest of all time, yeah.
and the greatest of all times right there in Schuylkill County by Muhammad Ali. So,
absolutely.
And you know, boxing history, we're entrenched on it in a high level. A lot of heavyweight champions. Jack Dempsey trained up in Schuylkill County, up in Shamokin.
Shamokin, okay.
He did. And matter of fact, I think he had a girl up there that he was seeing that caused him not only for boxing, but he had a relationship that he had going on up there. Now, ain't that something?
Right. You know, speaking of, just kind of switching a little bit here from, you talked about Muhammad Ali, but we did see Nico Ali Walsh again coming up, the grandson. He looks like he's going to be a pretty good fighter coming along. And let's not forget about Ivan Holyfield, too, you know, another legacy there as well. So, you know, the next generation is on its way.
Oh, absolutely. And that fight was on ESPN. Showed that he can really pop with that right hand. You know, as he's in a development stage, and, you know, he showed that he is developing, but he shows things that he has in the game. There's things that he just got to work on. Like any fighter does, he's looks like that he's very acceptable to an overhand right, and he's going to have to correct that. Don't fight so straight up in the air. Tuck his chin down, and learn how to catch the right hand. That when it comes over top, you catch it with your other hand, your right hand, and it goes down in the cup. And then the guy throws the left hook, you just bring your hand back to catch the left hook. It's like catching a ball. You know, you throw your jab and the right hand comes over top and put your glove over the other side of your face and duck your head down in the cup, and that's how you stop a right hand and keep that chin down. Unless your chin up, yeah. And if he's able to pull that off, boy, oh boy, is he going places. And I hope that he can pull it off, you know, to see guys try to live, keep it going on in their family. But, you know, Layla Ali, boy, whoo, Ali's daughter, she was awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Layla was something kind of special.
We haven't heard much about Layla fighting Clarissa Shields anymore lately, too. That was a big story earlier in the year when that was happening. That kind of fizzled out, I guess.
Yeah, well, it did fizzle out when Layla Ali told her, hey, look, you get them to put the money up, and I show up. So they couldn't find the money to get put up, so I guess it all calmed down, Bob.
I think she wanted like $5 million or something like that for her. It was a big number. Yeah.
Yeah, well, she draws them to the scene, on the scene in the screen, you know?
Right.
Yeah, Layla brings him out, you know, for a father, name and all that, you know. It's something. She's a draw.
And
she's doing very well what she's gotten into now. So, you know, that's good. You know.
Yeah. Oh yeah, all the way. Mm-hmm. And also, you know, we have got a big fight tonight, the one we started off with, the one out in Vegas with Jamal James. There's another interesting fight. He should be able to dispose of Bataev tonight. But, you know, it's a fight. You never know, the guy's undefeated. And what you just said earlier, we don't know how good an undefeated fighter is until, you know, he faces somebody, you know, up in that upper echelon. So, you know, we'll see what Jamal James does in that fight out in Vegas tonight, too.
Oh, yeah, Bob. Absolutely, man. You know.
And Juwan Ennis is coming up there, too. I mean, he's on that undercard. He was a welterweight. I mean, they're doing that a lot lately now where you have the main event and then the co-main event might be the same weight class just in case something happens, because we still have COVID out there and we still have cancellations and people, you know, getting sick and everything else. So that's going to be another one, too. So maybe down the road, if James and Ennis both come out of there okay tonight, that should be a really good matchup, too, for the WBA.
Oh, absolutely. And speaking of the WBA, the WBC, the WBA, and the IBF, and the WBO, they had a summit in Puerto Rico, Bob. I think that those kind of things are terrific for boxing. You know, as you know, the organizations get so much dumped on them. But the organizations are the ones that keep boxing going, Bob. Let me explain to our listeners how.
Okay.
You know, if you ask someone, name me a fighter in Australia, name me a fighter in England, name me a fighter in Mexico, name me a fighter in Puerto Rico, name me a fighter in Africa. Most of them can't come up with a name, all right?
Right.
So it is the boxing organizations that have affiliates in countries all around the world, like the WBC is now 170 countries around the world that they have affiliates. And they take these guys in that area and they create a rating system. And then when they come to the convention, they're able to mention these guys, certain guys that they feel that can fight and that has a possibility to win a world title to the ratings chairman of each organization, have a ratings chairman. And these ratings chairmen are the ones how they get rated. And then people start hearing, they start reading the rate. Oh, yeah, I know this guy. Then they start following. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But otherwise that, they would never get the exposure of something like that. And, yes, you do need the titles. It's because those days of yesteryear, I fought the man that beat the man that fought the man that beat the man, just doesn't work in this time, in this era. Organized boxing that these organizations have And they have a rating system. And those rating systems helps guys get the opportunity to fight for the world championship that once they win it can change their lives. And it has changed those guys' lives that, you know, from impoverished backgrounds, from, you know, from ghettos all over the world, guys that have become world champion. It has changed their lives. And this thing in boxing where they feel a fighter should make all the money, that's not business. Just like a promoter can't make all the money, but a fighter can't make all the money either. If somebody has to take a risk, somebody has to take a risk to seek a reward. So these organizations take the risk at the time, hoping a guy can fight. They rate him in that rating system. So these guys get the opportunity to fight for titles. And in that, you got to pay the sanction and fees to have that opportunity of the name of those organizations, such as the NBA. The NBA gets a fee.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Okay, yeah.
Baseball, the hockey, all those organizations get paid from, if it ain't the owners, the athletes are putting in the money, but they don't take home all the money. And this is what Boston, these people are trying to do to say that these organizations are no good. Are they out of their mind? Yes, they're good. If you can trace, you can trace the history of the game back, Bob.
Right.
This man fought this man that beat this man that fought right. this man that beat this man that beat this man. Now you have chronological order, the man that fought the man that beat the man that fought the man that beat the man that fought the man that beat the man, and it goes back in time in history.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying, Bob?
Oh, absolutely, yes.
Mm-hmm. And without that, without these rating systems and things like that, boxing would fall apart. You know, that's why in England they started boxing clubs and all of that. It goes over in England where boxing, you know, had its spark. Yeah, boxing clubs have been around a long time. Organization boxing been around for a long time. So,
right.
you know, all of that's hardcore. Stop knocking these organizations, man, because you can't get your way. You know, understand the rules and follow the rules is how you get your way.
Right.
You know what I mean? When you can present a case that went against the rules, that's how you present it. But just to say this and say that off the top of your head and it don't even go with what the rules say, it's crazy, Bob. And
right.
and they keep doing it to these organizations that do a lot for these fighters, you know. Yeah, you can always do better, but they do a whole lot, Bob. And thank each and one of those presidents for Gilberto Mendoza, Mauricio Suleiman, Darryl Peoples, you know, those, man, they've been around the game a long time. And thank you so much, you guys, for having a summit and to make boxing the best that it can be. And it's showing that it ain't the organizations that are against each other. It's people who are trying to kill a sport that are trying to pit against all of these, the four major boxing organizations, the WBO and the IBF and the WBC and the W. They're trying to create confusion amongst them, and it's a shame.
Right. And, you know what, one other thing we'll get to before we end up, we have a few minutes left, but I want to also just talk about that bridgeweight division. We saw the first champion. That was last Friday night, Oscar Rivas. Is the first champion of that 224 limit bridgeweight division, which the WBC has. So I don't know if they really talked about that too much with this meeting they have, if other groups are going to get into that division as well. But we do have their first champion.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I think that's another opportunity for fighters, man. You know,
yeah, uh-huh.
you know, because once you get the heavyweight, you know, what we've seen with Dante Wilder. Tyson Fury was really a super heavyweight, or 300 right. some pounds. Dante Wilder ain't weighing up to that. And man, it makes a difference.
And Usyk too, you know, Usyk's a 220 pounder. You know, I mean, he was mm-hmm. bruiserweight, but he's definitely in that bruiserweight division as far as his weight, where he's at.
Yeah, yeah, and just think, he could have just moved up, to that. And became undisputed, because he was undisputed champion. We're down there in
cruiserweight.
Usyk was. So, but he rose to the occasion. It shows ain't the size that you win or you fail. It's the size of the fight that you have in your heart that makes a champion a champion. He showed that little men are giants too.
Right. And then we'll see how the bridgeweight division goes on as we move on into it a little bit more. But it was nice to see that actually come together.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we heard about it. We talked about it on our show, Bob. It's named after the young man that got brawled by a dog. And
you're saving a little girl, too, wasn't it?
Yeah. And that's the this here, that's a prime story, what organization, what they do. You know, look, they named that division after that young man that lost his life. I think that's brilliant.
Yes.
Yeah, I think it's just brilliant. It shows the humanity side of boxing to do something like that, you know?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so Bob, we're coming in to the end of a year, and I want to thank you and Henry Haskopf and people that have been on our show, man. It's the boxing community around the world that makes our show what it is.
Thank you. And also, I want to just congratulate you again for your induction into the Atlantic City Boxing Hall of Fame back in August. That was a real nice weekend down there, and I enjoyed I just always wanted to say this about you. Where you came up and you started your speech and you said, "I feel like I'm home." And, I spent my time down in Jersey Shore, too, and it was nice. I came down there, too, and you hit me with that one. I was like, yeah, he's home, man. This is great.
it was something. I tried to give in the speech a little boxing history about the airport, with Jack Johnson, Jack Dempsey.
Right.
And then the boardwalk about Muhammad Ali, at the airport with Muhammad Ali when he was an amateur.
Okay.
When he fought there, Muhammad Ali had his amateur and professional boxing team fight down there too. But however, when Muhammad Ali came to Atlantic City on the boardwalk with the coach there, he was saying he looked out into the Atlantic and he said, "Wow, this is the biggest lake that I ever saw." And that's what I was saying in my speech. I said, "Well, champ, I'm here to tell you is that they're calling the lake a ocean now."
like Deer Lake. It's not quite Deer Lake.
right.
With Pennsylvania. The lake with no fish.
So
it was a wonderful time. Yeah, it was nice. And everybody else being there, Roy Jones and the rest of the gang. Joe Eli, he was fun too, yeah.
Yeah.
And all the other guys.
Yeah, and we can't forget about Henry Haskopf on November 11th. The New Jersey Boxing Hall of Fame is having their dinner, the one in Secure. He's getting Fighter of the Year at that. So we want you to go to the New Jersey Boxing Hall of Fame website, look down the list, man, and get your tickets and go. It's a great time. That meal is something kind of special, man, and wow.
All right.
Get the meal.
And one more thing, just while we're talking about that Atlantic City thing, Leoma Bird, man, that was a name I really wasn't familiar with, but that lady back there in the middle of the last century putting together a fight club up there in Pleasantville, New Jersey, and man, it was just really interesting hearing some of the other guys talk about some of the history, especially she being inducted as a posthumously, but that was a very good show.
Yeah,
so,
yes,
yeah.
It was. Yeah, in closing, Bob, we got 10 seconds. I'd like to thank you for tuning in to the World Boxing Review radio show. My name is Aaron Snow. They call me the Hall of Fame Trainer of Champions. And our radio aficionado, Bob Murray, who takes us around the world, dips in and dips out the nooks and crannies on the planet to find boxing and to find the news, what's happening, brother.
Exactly.
And
okay.
We want to thank you. And our boxing historian, Henry Haskop, thank you so much. And also, go to that dinner of the New Jersey Boxing Hall of Fame, November 11th, and go to their website and get the information. Thank you for tuning in to the World Boxing Review.
All right. See you later. Bye-bye.
Bye.